due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight I have some of the usual suspects. I'll start with my numbers guy up north, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
I miss that brief respite of warm weather we had this week. And now we're going to see snow again. At least it's only an inch.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the planet, we have somebody that is sweating his balls off, Bad News Beeman.
That is incorrect, actually. I am in nice air conditioning, so I am cool.
And I've got the heat on and a thick blanket and... oh, and a comfortable cap. So, this week in wrestling... as we continue working our way towards Elimination Chamber, we've had a few more qualifying matches, but there's some action outside of the ring that we need to talk about.
Oh, boy. I think I know one of them.
Which one would you like to start with, Stepboy? Whoops.
The one that's been sticking in our craw for some time, and its knock-on effects. Affordability... and what WWE is doing and TKO is doing to combat it, which is nothing. In fact, they're making it worse.
Indeed, they are doing something that I figured, because of the way streaming services and pirate streaming goes, I didn't think you could do this anymore. Apparently, WWE and TKO is approaching... area is close to the pay-per-view venues and blacking them out, so you have to buy tickets. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works anymore.
Yeah, you either have to buy tickets or you have to get the ESPN app.
So, essentially, the way I see it, and... you know, since I didn't grow up in a major athletic market, so this didn't affect me very much. You're telling me that the Chicagoland area, every sports bar, any movie theater, any other location that wants to get a bunch of people together to spend a lot of money and watch wrestling is not going to be able to do that, so they're going to spend even less money and stay home.
Yep. TKO doesn't understand how to cultivate fans.
They don't understand how to cultivate wrestling fans.
Yeah. I would say fans in general, because you've seen how UFC is doing.
And that's why they're jacking all the prices in WWE to save UFC's ass.
Yeah. And you can also see that with the knock-on effects with the WrestleMania ticket or sales right now.
Good.
They were last year. Yeah.
Good.
I know, Shane. We've said this a few times, but... until they
get it... trust me, dude. I've been the same boat. I'm on the same island as both of you. But as far as the UFC situation's concerned, and UFC fans can hate me for this, I don't really give a shit. But the reason why UFC's tanking at the moment is because, let's be realistic, they don't have as many mainstream stars as they did years ago. Like, they had people who everyone was talking about, like Conor McGregor, friggin' Rampage Jackson, friggin' Ronda Rousey, Amanda Nunes.
Thanks for the reminder, Ronda. There's some news about her.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. To be honest, dude, I might actually watch that fight because it. I might actually watch it because that's the type of shit that gets eyes on TV. But
true.
Anyways, UFC aren't marketing their athletes like they used to. Like, there's no one there that has that charisma, like a Chael Sonnen, like Tito Ortiz, guys like that, or even women like Rousey, Holmes, Nunes, Carano. Yeah, sorry. Exactly. People that would, like, you know, talk shit and get eyes on the screen going, I'm going to knock this motherfucker out. Like, No one does that anymore. These guys are all respectable now going, have a good match. Like, no, suck my dick. There you go.
Well, the problem is some of the marketing they can't do because half of these guys are going to or getting out of jail or have a family member going into or getting out of jail.
See Cain Velasquez.
See Rampage Jackson. I know he's probably long retired, but his kid's not going to give him any good press. Nobody's going to touch him.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you did a UFC fight between Vasquez and Jackson, I guarantee a lot of eyes are going to be going onto it. But
oh yeah, they make a quick buck, but you know, what kind of example are you setting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Let's be realistic. Like, unfortunately, sex and drama sells. That's why WWE's, like, women's matches get over. Like, yes, women are athletic, but they watch it mainly for the costumes as well. Like, let's not sugarcoat crap here.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
But it's like drama sells. That's the be all end all of it. If you're gonna do kitty cut it, that's why the PG era sucked balls. Because
I disagree, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah,
right.
There were certain things that were bad. Yeah,
because We couldn't get a full animal Batista because that didn't work. That didn't fly in the PG era because Dave couldn't bloody and beat the crap out of people like he used to. Like, Cena got over, like, but that was Cena's shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why his heel run sucked.
Ed, let's kind of drag this back on topic here.
Yes.
I get that they want to fill the arenas in the stadiums, but they've got to remember that a lot of wrestling fans are on a budget. Most football fans are fucking whales. They can afford the $5,000 tickets.
And
we've talked about this in referendum and, like, basically flogging a dead horse here. But similar to what Josh said, TKO just doesn't understand wrestling fans. They do not understand that wrestling was built off the back of, and may he rest in peace, working class, like Dusty Rhodes, working class families.
Yeah.
So, you know, when wrestling stops being cool and all the hip kids stop spending money and all the celebrities go away, what are you going to have left?
Essentially,
a bunch of expensive,
exactly. Yeah, TKO with their putt in her hand.
Yeah, a bunch of expensive empty seats.
Yep.
Because at some point, this isn't going to be cool anymore. And I'm too young to be to have gone through the slump in the 90s. We had a slump in the mid 2000s. We had a slump in the late 2010s. So we've got a slump coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when the viral moment, people like Logan Paul and any celebrities don't show up, a lot of casuals may go because that's what's dragging a lot of them in, is people that are doing like the YouTube and the celebrities and stuff like that. But the hardcore right. wrestling fans will stay around for the Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Damian Priest, Fatus and such like that. But this is mostly TKO's fault, but this is also partially where WWE needs to start putting a lot of effort into these wrestlers and these characters to make people go, even the casual wrestling fan go, you know what, I want to stick around for the Javon Evans and the Carmelo Hayes and that coming up.
Yeah.
And the Braun Breakers coming up.
Yeah.
Because then...
Sorry, Shane.
No, you're right. You're right. I was just going to say, because eventually the mainstream guys like the Cody Rhodes and the Roman Reigns and, I hate to say his name, but Brock Lesnar's, they're going to go away. They're going to retire.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Right.
Because Brock is getting up there in age. Roman isn't exactly, but he's already definitely taken a step back. Cody is starting to get there in age. He's like 40 now. You've got, and the thing is, the newer guys that are trying to push up to the main haven't stuck as well yet. Though I have a feeling one of the new guys are going to stick very quickly because he's got something. Charisma.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop
yep,
that and... trick.
Oh, ooh, my goodness, I thought you were talking about a different person who let's just say ruled the ring this past week.
But, yeah.
He's getting there. He's getting there.
He will get there quick. It's just Trick Willie? Holy shit. You heard that crowd on SmackDown?
Oh, hell yeah.
They were chanting whoop that trick in other matches.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here. This past week of SmackDown was just mind-blowing in itself. Like, that's the type of SmackDown and Raw, hell, wrestling period I need to see. Because I didn't predict a lot of this shit. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Like I said, this pivot is gonna be a lot of fun to watch.
But yeah, in order for them to cash in as best as they can, they have to remember you only go for the whales, you're eventually gonna burn everybody else out. You have to aim for everyone. In order to succeed.
Exactly. I'm seeing fewer and fewer of the super fans. We already know the Brock Lesnar guys kind of hung it up. Yep. Smiley face guy still shows up.
Rick Oxford.
Sign guy's going to.
Yeah, he's going to. Yeah, sign guy. TNA wherever.
Yeah. But he's not going to WWE anymore. Then again, they banished him to Spitside about 15 years ago. So,
yeah. Hey, to be honest, I would have been going to an AEW event over a WWE event this year had it not been for Tony Khan
Valentine's
booking a
Day.
Shit date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But, oh, well. But what was the other news that we had other than TKO fumbling again?
Did we talked That's right. We bashed Meltzer last week.
Yes.
Oh, well, we don't need to give that prick any more airtime.
No.
No. So the other one is apparently we need to throw an Attitude Era wrestler into Room 101.
Ah.
Oh.
That douchebag.
First of all, sorry, Sean Morley was never a fucking main eventer.
No, he was a mid-carder.
He was a mid-card novelty act.
Yeah.
And so... And dude.
Who wants
to bitch first? I'll step back.
First
off. Go for Stat Boy. Go for gold. I know you want to.
Fuck you, pal penis. You don't even deserve your gimmick name. You deserve exactly what you are, and that's a penis in the head. You are a complete and utter dickhead. You're a terrible human being. You've been a terrible human being for the last 25, 30 years. And, your moral leanings are wretched at best. Because, he decided to essentially put out more verbal diarrhea into the stream this week. Let me see if I can find the bullshit, because I want to see what it is, but I don't want to quote it, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I'm not in the right place.
I believe his exact words, like, that I'm not quoting here, but I can't think of the legal terminology or whatever the fucking term is for it.
Just use Cliff Notes.
Paraphrasing. There we go. Paraphrasing here.
Yes.
Paraphrasing is he said that he was more talented than, I believe he said, Roman Reigns. What did he say? He said Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and someone else combined. And he could easily make more money than them if he was still wrestling. Paraphrasing here.
And no. Roman, who I would consider the least charismatic of those three, just by a little bit, not by a much, has more charisma in his pinky finger than Sean Morley does in his entire body.
Yeah, okay. I probably wasn't going to be as brutal as Josh has been. But, come on, Sean. Let's be truthful here. You knew as well as everybody did, you were a mid-carder at best. Yeah. The best three things you had in your career had you basically as a side character. As a side character rather than anything else. The most memorable thing about you was Mr. Fuji saying, I think it was Mr. Fuji saying, I was going to choppy, choppy your PP. Oh, sorry, Mr. Yamaguchi, sorry. Mr. Yamaguchi saying, choppy, choppy your PP.
Mm-hmm.
You doing your whole right to censor shtick, and Steven Richards was the biggest thing out of that.
By a mile.
Yes.
And a masked Kane gyrating on screen going, hello, Morley. That was the biggest three things of your career.
Yeah.
Like, that was the biggest three things of your career. Like, yes, you're a former Intercontinental and Tag Team Champion. Like, that's great. But, dude, Vince, whether it be in the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era, was nowhere. You weren't even on the fucking radar for a World Heavyweight or WWE Championship. Period.
Yeah.
Now, not to play devil's advocate, but if Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes were in WWE during Val Venus's quote-unquote prime, maybe they would be. But it's 2026, dude.
Yep. That and all
Cody Rhodes would have got...
Yeah, keep going, Nikki. Keep going.
Okay. Cody Rhodes, first of all, WWE respects legacy to a point. They will work with, they will give you a little bit of preferential treatment if you have family in the business. Sami Zayn has more athleticism than you have in your entire body. And in 1997-98, Sami would have been a cruiserweight guy and probably a jobber. Okay. But guess what? In 2026, we don't need to see overly muscly guys and people walking around with big dick energy that you think you have. Mm-hmm. That chuppy chuppy PP, I think, actually happened. For rules.
Yeah.
But, okay, so if you want to play devil's advocate, okay.
Really?
Cody back in Ruthless Aggression era, in Attitude era, probably would have got over because his brother was more over than Val Venus in being Gold Dust. So Cody would have been fine. And hell, I think, and people can come at me and hate me for this, but honestly, Sammy coming in as El Generico would have gotten more over than Val Venus.
Yeah.
Because Attitude Era loved their luchadors.
Mm-hmm.
And the ridiculousness of El Generico would fit in with that time frame.
Yeah, he would have been in the same vein as the Hurricane.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's Hurricane and El Generico. I would take my money.
Did that ever happen?
No. But now, anybody with 2K26... 2K26 can make that happen for me. Anyway.
Yeah, it never happened. Damn.
No, we got Hurricane and Kane. We got Hurricane and Rosie.
God love him.
God, I can't remember who else he teamed up with.
Mighty Molly.
Mighty Molly, yeah. He also tried to team him up with Lance Storm during the boring phase. Kind of worked.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give it a lot of time, though.
Oh, yes. And then directly after that, Lance Storm got put into somebody want to give me a little wave face. It's like, yeah. Oh, God. You poor bastard. But yeah.
So
Carl, if Carl's one, whoever's putting in the sound effects for these, Carl, just to give Sean Morley one last little reminiscence of one of his top three moments into room 101. Goodbye, Morley.
Let me find
and
my
stay
quote.
In there, you bitch.
You find my quote. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Val Venus, a.k.a. Sean Morley. We swiftly and graciously cancel you. You didn't crack main event in the Attitude Era, and now I am convinced that your PP was properly choppity-chopped.
Mm-hmm.
Good riddance. Now, we should speak of stuff that has happened on Raw and SmackDown. Let's start with what's in the box.
Yes, we'll be finding out here in 1 week's time at Elimination Chamber.
Correct. Now the Jericho situation. It's not going to be Chris Jericho. Then again, I don't think he would have stayed in there very long. AEW has decided to play a dick card and say, no, you still work for us.
Ah, frozen contract.
Because I'm guessing Jericho had missed dates either due to injury or his band schedule.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the carnies in any office are going to hold you to all of your dates.
Yeah.
So it's not Jericho. I'm amused at the theory that's now emerging that it's going to be Danhausen.
I'm sorry. I love Danhausen. The problem is, I don't think he would work so well in WWE's environment. Nothing against him. Like he's just thing. The wrong person in the position.
Can we throw him in NXT or TNA?
TNA, yeah, he'd work. NXT, maybe.
Although, to be fair, I think Danhausen's working behind the scenes with the amount of injuries we're getting. Like, I curse you! I curse you!
Yeah.
Stop it! That's not how you get on TV, Danhausen. Sit down!
Mm-hmm.
That's not how you get your bags of human monies.
Yes. I'm just trying to figure who would it be that would be big enough to be essentially going, ooh, who is this coming in?
I have a bad feeling.
What do you mean?
I have a bad feeling because there've also been rumors circling that Lesnar was gonna somehow sneak his way into the chamber by taking out one of the participants. So, I know he's supposed to be appearing next week, apparently.
Yeah.
But I have a bad feeling because they couldn't get Jericho. They're gonna stick a beast in a box. And whoever walks past that box at the time is screwed.
I hope not. That would be... And besides, Brock doesn't sneak. They don't even have to gimmick the door for him to go up there and rip it off its hinges and go in there and beat everybody up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more along the lines of... Big Show 2003 with Taker after the whole Canyon incident.
Oh, that, yes. Right.
And Pritchard's not available to do the Brother Love one. Or whoever plays Brother Love.
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard plays Brother Love, yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not getting Brother Love. Who are we joking about?
He can't
about?
Fit into the suit anymore.
Not wrong. Who else could they put in there?
Look, if we're doing like fantasy booking, like if you're wanting someone like for a shock factor situation, oh Jesus.
You guys already know what I'm thinking.
Ambrose. Yes.
And they open the box, and you got Mox in there in a straight jacket wrapped in barbed wire with a gag over his mouth and snarling and cussing into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mox in a box.
Yes, a Mox in a box. And then Seth reveals himself as the hooded stranger that's been stomping everybody.
That would be a little bit of a weird way to put him back, but because he's doing other stuff. No.
Who dat?
I was thinking of Seth, but Seth is essentially being used as the masked man, even though it might not be him.
Hmm. Yeah, I would be very interested if one of the fan theories was correct with who they said, because there's someone who hasn't appeared on AEW TV in quite a while, and his... his wife is on Raw currently, and is a women's tag team champion and has ties to Seth Rollins. Mr. Murphy.
Ooh. And depending on which way they want to go with that, with Rollins, you're right. Murphy's got history going, if you go through the pandemic era, that he was a disciple to the Monday Night Messiah. And I think, and Murphy ran afoul of Aleister Black, so there's another feud he can get right into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but getting back to the box, I mean, if we if you're going to do a shock factor, like, the box would be good to have, like, a major call-up being done. Actually.
Oh.
Although that'd be a stupid way to, like, do things for her, but because she's already debuted on the main roster before, but there have been rumors going around that they're going to retweak Sol Ruka a bit. So box repackage, 28th of February, 28th of February will be the debut of the new Sol Ruka character. I don't know, but the more urban version, you assholes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you want shock factor? It's Zarya with the carcass of Sol Ruka at her feet. Yeah. Only one of us made it.
Although that's not happening for now.
No, not yet. Not yet. Sol Ruka and Zarya are.
Yeah, they're afraid, but they're not broken yet. It almost happened this week on NXT. Almost.
Correct.
But Zarya saved Sol Ruka's behind against Fatal Influence.
Enemy of my enemy and all that.
Yeah.
All right. Top three picks. And these are all going to be wild cards. So just bear with me.
Yeah.
Top three, I'm thinking it is. It's, like I said, it's that crazy. I'll say it. I reckon it may be Sol Ruka being repackaged. But the two wild card ones, if it's a female, I'm saying Britt Baker, DMD. If it's a male, jeez. That's hard. No one's hard.
John Moxley.
I would love it. As much as I would love it to be Moxley, I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
I know.
It's... I don't know. Who's had their time in NXT? Maybe even Tony D'Angelo. Maybe. I don't know.
Nah, he's got too much to do yet.
Yeah.
He's got to finish taking out Timu Shield. I mean, Dark State.
Yes.
I'm sorry. They have the charisma of a microwave.
It's true, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to say it. It's got to be Kane. It's Kane in the box.
No.
No.
It would be fun if the box caught fire.
Yeah.
No, like I said,
that would be just a pipe dream.
Biggie. And it'd be very anticlimactic. Oh, I wish.
Yeah, same, but that's a pipe dream.
Imagine the swerve.
Yeah.
Ooh, but he's far off, isn't he?
He's done. He's retired done.
Owens or
Eve?
Big E.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about Owens.
On the other hand, that might be a good one.
I'm just curious because the way how the GMs have been so irritated with this box, that's why I'm giving some weight to the Danhausen theory.
Mm-hmm.
Because while he's not, big screen. A and B show energy kind of guy, it would still be hilarious. I mean, Goldust got a ton of mileage without having to wrestle a match.
Mm-hmm.
Recall all of his skits with Booker T.
Yeah.
And then the revival when he was, when he got caught up in the middle of the 24/7 mess. How many times did Goldust actually wrestle during those stretches?
It was not many.
That's what I mean. Danhausen would just be a fun little irritant.
Mm-hmm.
He would be a wizard for hire. Give him bags of human monies, and he will go curse your opponents. It doesn't always work, but And if William freaking Regal will sell a curse, come on. Just me, though. What else have we got?
Let's see now.
Well, Monday Night Raw kicked off our surprises for the week.
Yeah, because we all thought that Gunther was going to take it over Dominik and Javon. No! Ya boy, Bouncy is going to the Elimination Chamber. Kid's already got a rocket strapped to his ass, and he's barely old enough to drink.
Yeah. But that's okay. We needed a high flyer in the chamber. So yes. He can do some goofy, crazy shit in there.
Yes.
Since Kofi ain't in there, we don't have Morrison. Who else was in there and did crazy shit?
Well, you've got in there so far LA Knight, yeah. Cody Rhodes,
yeah.
Randy Orton, Trick Williams, and your boy Bouncy.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that there's a lot of faces there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do we Who do we still have left for the last qualifier? Because their last match has been announced. It's just I forget what it is.
Trying to see what next week's bringing.
When I saw how many faces were going in there, I thought that was really odd because they usually try to put in a balance of heels and faces, but then I thought, no, Drew McIntyre is a heel, so we're going to need a face to face him.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I think, you know, judging from some of the stuff that happened, I think our last two are going to be Trick Williams and Randy Orton.
Trick got confirmed. Oh, the last two in
what's
the
that?
Match. Sorry, my brain went duh.
In the match.
Second. Yeah.
No, for the match. The last two is going to be Trick Williams and Randy Orton.
One surprise.
Because they're leaning hard. Oh. Yeah, they're leaning hard on Orton McIntyre right now.
There it is. The last one will be Bronson Reed, Jey Uso, and Chad Gable, Grande Americano.
It won't be Americano because they've.
Yeah. It's still going to be hot Americano on Americano action. It'll probably
yes.
be Bronson.
That's. Yeah, because the Vision needs representation in there. Jey Uso is kind of floundering right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're floundering in their own tag team division.
Yeah.
And they've done the whole conspiracy theory at the moment that the masked man has attacked everybody in the Vision but Bronson Reed.
Yeah. That means Jey is going to win.
Well, not necessarily.
Not in the
they
chamber.
Could.
But the main triple chamber. Threat this Monday.
Well, as I'm saying, not necessarily the qualifying match either, because they could finally reveal the masked man at Elimination Chamber by costing Bronson Reed the match.
Yeah.
So much as I hate to say it, I think Jay's going to win it.
Jay's going to win the qualifier, but he's not winning the chamber. It's going to be Orton. Or Cody.
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm leaning towards Orton just because of what some of the stuff Drew did last night.
Yeah. Okay. And then on the women's side, Asuka won on Raw. Not a big surprise, but a little bit. I guess, I don't know. And then the last one to get in will be Io Sky, Kairi Sane, or Raquel Rodriguez. I have a feeling it's going to be Raquel. Mm. Just because...
Yeah, because Io's
Yeah.
Just because?
No, EO's and EO and Kairi are still against each other. I feel Raquel is going to take it.
She might even go in there and win it, just so that she could beat the hell out of Liv, because there's tension.
Yes.
Besides, Io's still got to deal with the women's tag team titles, and Asuka's going to have a program with Kairi.
Yes. The only question is when, not if.
Right. Because, go ahead, Shane.
I'll just say, I think, because there's still one qualifying match with the women's Elimination Chamber as well. So if Kairi's in that one, expect Kairi to win the...
That's what I was just talking about. Io, Kairi, and Raquel face off against each other. That's the final spot in.
So do you think Kairi would... If Kairi won it, she would go in there and screw Asuka?
Possibility?
Potentially, yeah. Like, she might not... Like, she might finally just snap and give her the insane elbow and pin her the Eliminator. But she won't win the chamber, but that will set up their rivalry or breakup finally. If Kairi doesn't win it, Raquel's definitely winning it, because it'll lead to a triple threat match between Liv, Raquel, and Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. However, I do have to make mention of one thing that happened on SmackDown this week. I know we're going to jump around here. Kiana James? Are you kidding me?
Somebody's got to be...
Yeah, she's going to be the human battering dog, or essentially... I don't know the words. She's going to be essentially chopped.
Chew toy.
Yes.
Yeah, she's the chew toy.
Because she's... Essentially... Compared to everybody else there, she's nothing. She hasn't gotten over all. And Julia...
And the announcers are trying. God love them.
Yeah.
And poor Julia.
Yeah, Julia's getting screwed. 8 ways to Sunday, because she's essentially not allowed to be herself. Because, from what I've understood, her Joshi wrestling would be pretty much more like, say, Tekla. But they're treating her essentially like a jobber.
Which is bullshit.
Yes.
I understand that not everybody can be at the top, but can we at least make it look like she's headed that way?
Yeah.
And, if you'll excuse me a second, Alistair Pendorton, yay. Oh.
Yeah. Alistair shows up and pins Randy Orton.
But the way they played this off with the announce team as well, basically making it seem like, with Cody and Drew fighting each other, that's what distracted Randy enough to the point where he got black masked. It's like,
Drew came out, Cody chased him off, yeah.
So it's like,
you're right.
Yeah, are you trying to set up like that it's Randy's going to turn on Cody here? Because if that's the case, then that would mean most likely LA Knight's winning the chamber. And then we would get LA Knight versus Drew McIntyre.
To see it, but for the public at large, is that a WrestleMania main event? Well, night one. It's going to be night one, because Roman and Punk is night two.
I mean, I think LA Knight would go okay with it, but I don't see it. But I don't see any other outcome other than Knight should be winning there, because if not, then you're just wondering why. Like, Why are we going through all that trouble just to have LA Knight lose at Mania? Because I honestly think we're just like, I don't think Cody nor Randy is sniffing the WWE Championship at Mania this year. I think we're going to get a singles match between Randy and Cody, the way it's playing out.
And then Drew versus potentially LA Knight. Javon, it's not going to be Javon. It's too soon.
But then again, if you're going for like shock factor, potentially.
Because
like you said, Nikki, they are strapping a rocket to the man.
Yeah.
But to move him that quick to SmackDown?
No. If it could be Trick Williams, that'd be a hell of, you know, having a test title match at WrestleMania sounds pretty wild.
Yeah, that would Javon, be almost Jack Swagger level, if you remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, if Cody and Randy are going to end up against each other, that leaves us Knight, Javon, Trick Williams, and whoever wins the final spot. So if Jay went, out of those three, then yeah, Jay would win the triple threat, but could he win the chamber? I don't know if I want Jay in another main event
right now. Because admittedly, I don't think, does he really have that much in the way of momentum?
None.
Because his build to the main event was kind of going last year. And honestly, it's went nowhere since.
And with him and Jimmy getting back together as a tag team, you know, they're gonna have their own match to deal with.
Yeah.
Unless they're gonna break them up again, which I hope they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that, like I said, Jay's gonna win out of those three because Reed, if he wins, he's gonna get stomped, either at the qualifier or in the chamber. Because you can sneak into the chamber pretty easily.
Yes, thank you, Shawn Michaels, for telling chamber. People. Yeah, thank you, Shawn Michaels and Jericho, for telling people how to.
I was there when Michaels snuck in. Because that was also the night of Undertaker Flambé. It's not that hard to sneak in, so the hooded guy could sneak into the chamber and stomp Bronson if he ends up in there. The Americanos, obviously, they've got their own dealings. And when that all happens, it's early for a wild card, but I think everybody gets unmasked.
Mm-hmm. It all happens sooner or later. It's just a matter of when. WrestleMania when. Had to think about it for a moment.
Yeah, and yeah, it's something that I would love to see at WrestleMania, and just for the goofy factor of everybody getting unmasked, and they're all pointing at each other, like, you know what, you know. But then, where do you go from there? Is the only thing I'd be worried about.
Yeah.
You know, does Kaiser turn face and try to stop Gunther from retiring everybody? Does Chad Gable... What would Gable do?
Flounder.
I know Bate... Yeah, that's true. Bate and Pete Dunne would probably end up as a tag team back at NXT, which sucks.
Yeah.
They need to be unmasked at some point, but I don't want to do it They've already dropped hints about Rio and Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
And Americano Original kind of outed himself doing chaos theory. On Raw, he pulled off chaos theory like twice.
Mm-hmm.
So the unmasking's coming. I wanted WrestleMania, but I don't. This is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should call in El Local.
And we also saw Penta is the number one contender for the IC title. Which actually ties in with what's just happened on AAA as well. Because if Dominic loses his match against El Vikingo, he will be gone from AAA forever.
So, I don't think they're going to do that to him. Yeah,
I was going to say, because that would be a silly move to make. But Dom's definitely losing one of the belts.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, if I had to pick, it's going to be the IC title. We also need to keep an eye on the fact that Finn Balor is in a very bad mood and is, to a point, still getting looked over when it comes to his match with Punk at Chamber. Is it just me?
Yeah. Well, no, he sort of is, but they're also teasing the breakup of the Judgment Day here, because especially with what Punk said in the last little bit of saying, like, if you're that same Finn Balor, then leave your family in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And let's do this one-on-one. And then JD McDonagh went to attack Punk and Finn stopped him.
Yeah.
That's true.
And Dom's just over here going like a kid that lost his nuggets going, hey guys, like, we still got to talk about my match.
You and your chicky nuggies.
Somebody just walked in.
Hello, hello.
Is this thing still on?
What?
I finally was
there a guy.
Wild other Henniger appears.
I finally
Brian Henniger, hooray!
I finally remembered my password.
The password is Perfect Nugent.
Oh, how is everybody?
Hey, I know why he couldn't. We're doing pretty good, Brian. And by the way, your password, you have to keep remembering the umlaut. Anyway.
Yes.
Oh. No, the umlaut I keep remembering, it's the schwa that keeps confusing me.
That's true. The schwa is silent. And so is the Q. But yes, indeed, welcome.
Yes, welcome back.
Happy to be here because I wanted to give my thoughts on a certain washed up.
Do you want us to drag him back out real quick so you can essentially tee off on him?
Well, I was hoping y'all hadn't already sent the bastard to room 101.
Okay, we'll just open the door and let you shout down the hallway.
Yes.
Let me just take a look at something here. Hold on a minute. Okay, open the door real super quick.
There you go.
Okay. Hello, transphobe. Fact. Nobody gives a flying for holy what you think. Fact, Cody Rhodes is a bigger star than you'll ever be. And fact, the only reason why you got over in the first place was because Vince Russo thought you looked like a sleazy porn star. You are a washed up, pathetic pile of crap, and no one gives a flying fuck what you think. Thank you.
Anything. All right. Now close that door very tight.
There we are.
So yes, trust me, we tore him to pieces too.
Yeah.
I admit that I did a little bit of devil's advocate. If it was 1998 and it's not, maybe he would be right. But mm-hmm. he's not.
Yeah.
He's mid. He was mid then and he's still mid now, and we don't need that kind of crazy talk out here. Good riddance.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about him, didn't he actually forget to trademark his ring name and it got bought by a trans charity?
Yes.
Couldn't happen to a nicer son of a bitch. Anyway.
Yep. So let's see. What else have we talked about? Oh, let's get your take on this, Brian. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
It's too big to be just a human head.
No. I have two theories as to who it is. But before I get into this. I have about had all of Ollie Davis and the WrestleTalk Ultra 3 Smart Marks crapping on literally everything WWE is doing for, I about had my fill of all of it. I'm going to sit here and tell you something right now. I like this thing with the box. They did this in Memphis. They did it in Smoky Mountain. I think it's old school, and I kind of dig that it's old school.
Okay.
Now, I think the smart money is that it's going to either be Chris Jericho, because I don't believe that his...
We're not as wait, sure what? As you suspect.
Yeah.
The main reason, we've heard rumors that AEW froze the contract.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think he wants back in the Fed.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. It's just, don't know.
Okay. Then if it's not him, the other person it could potentially be, and this is a long shot, I think it may be Danhausen.
Oh. Were you reading Nikki's mind when you said that?
No, he's probably just reading the same rumors that I am.
Yes.
Now, given... So, Brian, I'll ask you this. Given his character and his eccentricities, A, is the modern audience going to get it? And B, what would you do with him?
The audience would absolutely get him. The audience has gotten Joe Hendry. The audience has gotten Mr. True. Iguana. They've gotten a lot of these eccentric characters. If the person portraying it believes it to the point that he makes you believe in it, it can work if it's WWE or AEW or whomever. What I would do with right. him... You have a perfect plan here to do basically a odd couple kind of rivalry where you have a straight-laced guy feuding with basically the Pinkie Pie of professional wrestling and solely being driven stir-crazy by him. And that could work. And he's good enough, he could make it.
Oh, no.
It work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping it is, judging from the way that Pierce and Aldis are super irritated about it.
Yeah.
Something super irritating should come out of that box.
Mm-hmm. And how the two of them have essentially said, let the other person deal with it.
Yeah.
Yes. Worst comes to worst, they drop it in Stone's lap and he won't know what to do with a Danhausen.
Yeah. Quite nice, quite evil.
Mm, yes.
Very nice, very evil. And the wrestlers would sell being cursed.
Unless it's like Gunther, who will not sell and just break him.
Yeah. Well, then Gunther, and after that, Gunther loses a match.
Yes.
Oh, and since I have Brian here, Brian, I need a favor. Is Kev around? I've got a very important question to ask Kev.
Hold on, I'll ask him. Hold on. Hey, Kev! Kev! No, I don't have Ernie Grunfeld's phone number. Would you get over here? Ugh. Dude, I was taking a nap. What the fuck?
I figured you'd be up this late, or is that just the OLD kicking in?
No, it's more like the Cab Sav kicking in. What do you want anyway, woman?
Actually, woman is kind of the reason I woke you up. What do you think of Raquel Rodriguez stealing your gimmick?
Which gimmick is that? I've had a bunch of them, man.
Well, they're calling her Big Sexy now.
Oh. You know, Big Sexy is Big Sexy. I mean, look, I've taken a look at her, and there's some parts of her that definitely are big, and fuck, she is sexy. So, man, you know what? She can share it. I really don't care.
You might not get any residuals. Is that okay?
I get enough from Ninja Turtles too, man. I really don't care. by the way,
so does that make? Yeah.
Do you guys see that video that the weird Tennessee dude Barry? Is it Barry?
It's Brian.
Yeah, that's what it is. Did you see that video of, like, me with my entrance? You can, like, control it and shit in the new video game, man?
Yes. Certainly did.
Absolutely.
Fuck. I mean, you know, that's... I'm not gonna lie, that's pretty sweet, man. Of course, it picked me because, you know, why wouldn't you?
So, whose entrance did he have you do?
No, it's just the fact that, like, you know, you can, like, press buttons on your controller and make the pyro go off whenever you want it, and it's, like, interactive entrances and shit now.
Ooh. Now that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, you know, if Raquel Rodriguez wants to be Big Sexy, that's fine, you know. May have to have her over at the bungalow, do a little, you know, intense negotiations for the intellectual property. But I, you know, we could come to an agreement, I'm sure, man.
Discuss it over good red.
Yeah, good red, nice steak. You know, she can put some cream on my quads. We can do that.
Hey, yo.
Okay, Kevin. Go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Oh, God. Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. Sorry. He doesn't have to use so much aqua velva. He really doesn't. Dear Lord, you can taste it in this room.
Well, that's only because he can't get nitro cologne anymore.
This is true.
I mean, eBay works wonders, you know.
Yeah, it does.
And you can get a bottle right now for $75.
I gave it the office.
I was going to say, he can get a case of Aqua Velva for $50.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else did we talk about? So we got the Valvinus thing out of the way. We got the what's in the box.
Did you mention
we were talking about Chamber?
Did you mention the situation with Janelle Grant?
Oh no.
We've got an update. I'm listening.
Yes. She spoke out recently. And she said by some miraculous circumstances, she's still alive. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. Let me find it.
Context? I need more context.
Yes, from post-wrestling, or by way of post-wrestling, John Pollock and Brandon Thurston. In her first public appearance, Janelle Grant spoke about the past years of her life and restrictions she has faced from an NDA with Vince. She alleged that in January of 24, she was assaulted and trafficked by McMahon. She spoke at a briefing for the Connecticut Alliance to End Sexual Violence. Let's see now. Wow. Essentially, this is her quote from what she's been through. I got a call that I didn't expect on the day of a very big meeting of a new job I had, and it was in front of my new bosses, and it was in front of a high-rise full of residents whose homes I was entrusted to protect. So imagine me getting a phone call I didn't expect, saying that at any minute the Wall Street Journal will be publishing a story about me, Vince Jr., and a non-disclosure agreement. I was told if anybody asks me about this, I cannot make a comment, can't acknowledge it, can't say I'm not okay, and if anybody approaches me, I can't acknowledge years of life to people who saw me live it. And it was like somebody set fire to my home intentionally with me still inside of it. So I blacked out and I ended up in a closet with a belt and a stool placed under a little rod. And thank God somebody saw me and stopped it. She essentially spoke about her isolating herself from society because of everything happening and experiencing coercive control. A concept her legal counsel is also asserting in her civil lawsuit against McMahon and the WWE. She noted that WWE reached out to her after the first reporting to participate in a joint statement saying that the relationship was consensual, and Grant said she refused it. WWE McMahon didn't post crap. What a surprise. Grant said says she has spent six figures to participate with legal retainers and medical care that saved her life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is why Vince McMahon will never, ever, ever be back.
Yeah. Because at this point,
no matter how loud the threes are screaming.
Yeah, criminal charges ultimately were not brought against Vince, but he was required to repay WWE a $1.3 million and submit to a $400,000 penalty. And just a note, the lawsuit or the situation with her and Vince and WWE is going to arbitration, unfortunately, in June, I do believe.
Now, what does that mean, arbitration?
Essentially, she is legally bound to whatever it was concerning this to essentially do mediation. Essentially, she don't get to control what's going to happen. Yeah, WWE technically doesn't, but they have to find a common ground. And unfortunately, I don't think Janelle's going to get what she wants. And WWE will, unfortunately.
Well, that's because is capital punishment legal in Connecticut? No, she's not going to get what she wants.
It used to exist. Last one happened in it was repealed in 2012. Yeah.
So no, she's not going to get what she wants.
Yeah.
Can I ask this is going to be a weird thing to ask, but
yeah.
Nikki, I would rather ask you than anybody else here.
All right.
Because I was on the Freaking Awesome Forum and Reddit, which was a mistake of mine. I admit that.
Yes.
People are saying that, you know, how can you still be a fan of wrestling with all this with WWE? In your opinion, because see, I can justify watching wrestling. Okay.
Right.
If someone was to say to you, how can you still support this company with everything that's happening? What would you say to them?
I would say, how many of the current roster is involved in what Vince and Brock and Laurinaitis in what they did? How many of them actually knew how that happened? And why should they be punished? Because Vince can't keep it in his pants.
And again, he's never coming back. I don't see him ever returning to the Fed after this.
Yeah.
No, they won't let him in, no matter how loud the number three shout. Number two, Hunter effectively changed the locks on the building.
Mm-hmm.
So that Vince cannot come in.
Yeah.
And
Vince is not allowed in that building, as far as I know. Go ahead.
And as far as I know, both Hunter and Stephanie, they still have nothing to do with him.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because when Vince tried to come back, Stephanie bailed. She's like, nope, I'm not going to be in the middle of this. And
that's the smart decision.
To those who have a problem, yeah. So to anybody who says, how can you still watch it? You ask them, are you still watching it? And if you're not, why do you even care?
Thank you. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. There's so many other options. And if you want to be tribalist about it, you know, and if you want to talk about people doing bad things, I could make some jokes about the Khan family when it comes to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but that's the wrong show.
Mm-hmm.
And I still want to know where Tony hides his cocaine. Anyway,
if he is doing that, I would explain why he was grinning like a mud weasel while CM Punk buried him. Anyway, that's all I wanted to ask. To whatever you wanted to discuss.
Yeah. So, what else have we got?
We do have an unfortunate passing this week.
Oh, and this is a big one.
Yes, because this is one of the big creative guys behind the scenes in WWE for most of the last four decades. Kerwin Silfies, the director who essentially created the visual identity for the era post-Hulkamania into the modern era, more or less, passed away this week at the age of 75.
I have a story about him I can tell.
Oh, go. Go ahead.
Okay, well, it's a story that he told, and it's my favorite wrestling story ever. All right? Mm-hmm. Whoops, what was that?
Sorry, just said.
All right. So you remember WrestleMania 4 was held in Atlantic City?
Yes.
Well, they were doing a whole bunch. They did a whole bunch of these little inserts at a blackjack table at the Trump Plaza with Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan. And Kerwin tells this great story. He said that they brought in the dealers and everything, and they sat down and they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have you just deal fake hands. They're going to pretend to play, and we'll do all these inserts for all the different cable companies. And the guy said, we can't do that. Because of Atlantic City union laws, we have to play live hands. So Gorilla Monsoon says, you know what? I'll do it. So he gets some money, sits down in front of it, and they start playing blackjack. Bobby's next to him. They do all of the stuff. And Gorilla's playing real blackjack during all of this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
They were there for a couple of hours. They wrapped up, and Gorilla hands, he says, hey, to the dealer, you were a trooper. Thank you. He hands the dealer three $100 chips as a tip.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that's a pretty big tip. He says, oh, I could afford it. He pointed down. Kerwin looks down. There was this mountain of chips in front of Gorilla Monsoon. He'd won like $18,000 during the course of those couple of hours.
Yeah.
But basically,
that's wrestling, baby.
Yeah. And the thing is, he was the inspiration for the name Kerwin White.
Yes.
Which we won't talk about.
Yes.
But he did so much to create the visual language of the WWE. And he was just one of those guys who was always there with the company. He just knew how to create things that were just amazing. And he was one of the last true ones, and he will be missed.
So let's go to something a little bit brighter. Kevin, Mr. Nash, touched on some of the things that you can do, some of the more customizable options in 2K26. And since you spent the big bucks, Brian, I know there is one thing in there that you are going to have way too much fun playing with.
Yes. Well, first of all, I cannot wait for my rise. And hold on one second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's 11 days and counting. Not that I'm counting, but yeah.
And 12 days till I get all my supercard content.
Well, you'll be getting it from me. I mean, but no, I got to see some stuff from My Rise. By the way, your Uncle Paul was at the creators' luncheon a few days ago.
Yes.
And he went 12 rounds with the microphone.
Yep. And of course, all that information is thanks to Tony Pizza Guy on YouTube, former member of the Deadlock podcast. He left because, well, he's a father and all that, and he had enough of doing the shows at middle of the night. That's what happened, pretty much.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
May I have your attention, please?
Yes.
May I have your attention, please?
Go ahead.
Oh, God, he's back.
We have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my Apple Lisa.
Oh, good Lord. I didn't realize you still had one.
Mm-hmm.
And I quote, will you be mentioning my triumphant return to the WWE in video game form? That is what I wanted to talk about. Ooh, I hate it when he has a point, but he does. So one of the big things you can do in the 2K games is WWE's, it's called My GM.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can create your own roster, book your own shows, and you can decide who the other GMs are going to be. Well, there's actually 20 different people who you can have as a my GM in this game. I'm trying to get the full list of who all the different potential GMs you can compete against are. I actually had the list here. Pierce, Aldis, Heyman, Stephanie McMahon, Xavier Woods, Tyler Breeze, Eric Bischoff, Mick Foley. So he may not be wrestling, but he is actually a GM in the game. Mm-hmm. William Regal, Teddy Long, Ava, Shawn Michaels, Sensational Sherry, Miss Elizabeth, Mr. Fuji, CM Punk, and there's three new people that can be chosen. One of them is Bobby the Brain Heenan. Yay. One of them is Stacy Keibler.
Aww.
And the anonymous Raw General Manager.
Yay.
And the image they picked for him is so great. It's a guy wearing a suit and a fedora with a silver mask on that you can't see the face on.
So this time it's not Hornswoggle.
Mm-hmm. It is not Hornswoggle. So, like, you know, I'm all for nostalgia, but do we really want to bring back the anonymous GM?
Please, no.
I would play the anonymous. Would do it. I wouldn't want it on TV, but I'd play it in the game for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Almost makes me want to find a game system to play it on. But I'm also going to wait those days until I get my supercard content. Hint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that I'm late. I had some
life.
I had some pressing trivia matters that I had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you gots to do what you gots to do. Yes. We're just glad you made it.
I am, and yeah, so that's fun.
Mm-hmm. What else do we have?
Let's see, we covered the chamber qualifiers, we talked about the box, we threw Sean Morley into room 101. What else have we got? Anything good happen on Dynamite? Because I don't get TBS anymore.
Let me take a looky-loo. Cause...
And Mox hasn't been over here in a while.
Yeah, we essentially got Swerve turning completely back to heel.
Okay.
Tekla is the TBS champion. And Tekla, holy shit. She's good at being a heel. But realistically, we're just kind of in a minor bit of a lull. But we're going to start seeing more stuff heading towards AEW Revolution. That's coming up here in about 3 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a reminder, we are doing the pick'ems for Revolution in lieu of me not doing them for Blood Money Rumble. Okay, and yeah, as of right now, we have 3 matches announced. Okay. MJF versus Heyman, and Heyman's doing the Cody Rhodes deal, which is dumb. If he loses, he'll never be able to challenge for a world title. That's dumb.
That stipulation needs to go away.
Yeah. FTR versus the
Forever Bucks. Stipulation's gone.
Yeah. FTR versus the Bucks. And Moxley versus Konosuke Takeshita for the Continental.
Okay.
And also, Wheeler Utick wound up bald. He looks silly. But that's because he looks more like Ox Baker now.
Well, he looked like a freaking Neanderthal before he got his head shaved.
Yeah. That is true. Other than that, though, I think we're good, aren't we?
I don't know, Brian, can you think of anything else we need to talk about?
Nope, I think I'm pretty good.
Cool.
Shane, any thoughts?
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything. Mm-hmm. Just gotta get ready for Elimination Chamber now and see what madness we're gonna get in a week's time.
Yes. So, I
think... Case we better start selling.
Yeah, it's time to start selling the soap. Shane, let's get you first, because you don't usually don't have much.
Nope. Just if you want to follow me for more wrestling content, follow me at Aussie Asshole.
Yep. Brian, time for you to sell your soap.
Well, I will happily do that. Here's what I want you to do. Every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, you can find me at Twitch, twitch.tv/Brian Henniger. I do all kinds of great stuff on my current on my Twitch channel, which has some great game show stuff, and all kinds of wonderful things happen there. And check me out every Friday night at 9. And yeah.
All
right. That's all I wanted to say.
Fair enough. For my end, this week on It Was a Thing on TV, the guys finally covered Police Squad. You know the show I'm talking about.
One of the most underrated television shows that ever lived, that was ever created.
A shame the rating said up yours to everybody, because, Mike That's mentioned it was the ratings during the
show. It was
on
the Friday night.
A little bit of...
This is a Friday night death slot, so, go ahead.
It was?
I remember it being on Friday nights for some reason.
And also, I can remember that there was an issue where the network didn't like it because you had to actually pay attention to the jokes.
Yeah. It was on Thursday nights.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, the big reason why it wound up tanking, it got put against Magnum P.I. And that is a buzzsaw of a show. Top 10 that season, if I remember right.
Yep.
So yeah, coming up next week, What's Happening Now? A 1985-88... syndicated show about, it was the pseudo sequel to What's Happening. And the main reason why it got canceled was probably because the people thought, we don't need rerun, and fired him after season one after he asked for a wage increase. That was dumb. Not on rerun's part, but rather on whatever syndicators they used. So you can find all of that and so much more on itwasathingontv.com. Nikki, your artist shoutouts. And before we do artist shoutouts, of course we do. I would be remiss if we don't cover WLTI for half a second, because that would be Jason's thing if you were here. And also, just a note for everybody listening and, maybe not listening or anything, but next week's episode will be on Friday night at 10 p.m., more than likely, because we've got a pay-per-view to cover, or to predict. And I hope everyone in here comes, but I don't know.
If it's 10 o'clock, I'll do my best to be there.
Yes, it will be after 10 o'clock because it'll be after SmackDown. And I'll be busy with working before that, so yeah.
Well, since SmackDown rolls to 11.
Ew. We'll start at 10, though, because, no, I'm not having this show go till Saturday morning. I have other things I have to do.
No, I understand. Okay. And I've tentatively will say I'm going to be there, but it's going to depend on some things that are going to happen early next week.
Yep.
Actually, no. Never mind. If the good stuff happens, I still get home in time.
Okay.
Artist shoutouts. First, out to our dear friend Jamie Claudier at Alter Ego Zowie. We need to get her out of that grocery store and out of the basement of the Has-Been Hotel and let her have a life.
Mm-hmm.
We have our obligatory shout-out to Oniwambashu. Check out her artwork. She's all over the web. Tumblr, Ko-fi. She has a card account for commissions. No new art on her directly on her page, but do check her out. Get to some of our other ones. Let's see. Groovy at Docile Bread. Commissions are currently open. Pretty good variety of styles. Let me see if I can find his prices. Let's see. Prices are negotiable, starting at around $110, but good lord, his stuff is gorgeous. Definitely check him out. Let's see, who else have we got? At James Diotto. Another guy who does some pretty good work. Let me see if his commissions are open. See if he has his list. Doesn't say. Direct message him for commissions. He also has an imprint gallery. He's got a couple of different styles. I can also recommend him. If you prefer anime in your wrestling fan art, check out Otanad on Instagram or Nahotahes on Twitter. If you're having trouble finding Otanad, go to @HaymanHustle on Twitter. You'll find most of it there. As far as I know, Otanad does not do commissions, but it couldn't hurt to look into it. Nahotahes is one of the least expensive fan artists out there. Definitely DM him for quotes. I could probably name a few other ones, but we're almost done here. Quick super card note, the Royal Rumble event is wrapping up in 4 days, and I would like to enjoy the Ferris Bueller joke they put in for the event. Despite there being some days left, there's still a whole bunch of objectives you can either spend money for or miss out on in the last 4 days of the event. I go in to turn in cards. The ring is empty, and Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out and says, "What are you doing here? The event's over." So, but I don't think I have too much else because I'm right here. So for Statboy Josh Henniger, for Brian Henniger, no relation, for Bad News Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next Friday night for Pick'ems and our lurk into the Elimination Chamber.